at the red line to Oposo, right wing over the Florida line. Tavares, right circle, walks in, shoots Luongo the save, rebound, Tavares throws it in, and scores! John Tavares has won it in overtime! And yes, yes, yes! The Islanders have their first playoff series win in 23 years!
And thank you guys for tuning in to the first episode of the Secondary Assist Podcast, brought to you by myself, Shane Blackburn, at sblackburn26 on Twitter, and Andy Graziano, at andygraz_sny on the Twitters. Formerly, we are of the Dump and Chase Podcast, but this is a full rebrand, retooling, re-release. It's going to be the Secondary Assist Podcast, a podcast all about the New York Islanders, and occasionally...
And Josh Bailey.
And occasionally about the biggest news in the NHL and in hockey as a whole. But Andy, I bring you in and I say, it's been too long, sir.
It has been, Shane. It's great to be back. We're excited to be broadcasting again. Podcasting was something that was dear and dear to our heart in the Dump and Chase days, and we had a lot of fun with it. And then, you know, things change. People move on. I moved on to SNY and Insight. There were some changes over at Insight in terms of the management they've done. And so it's good to be back. I'm excited. I'm pumped. I'm happy to be doing this again with you. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to go for, you know, a 30-minute spurt every week on Mondays. I think down the road, we'll obviously look into some of the stuff that made Dump and Chase so much fun, such as possibly bringing back listener call-ins. And stuff like that, and kind of fun stuff like polling on Twitter as we're speaking and stuff like that. We'll obviously have some special guests coming on as well, so I'm excited. Glad to be back.
I really missed doing the Dump and Chase podcast. It was some of the most fun during every week and really every month. Like, I just loved coming up every week and doing this Dump and Chase podcast, so I'm glad that we're back into it, Andy. We miss our esteemed third co-host, Rich Diaz Rodriguez. I'm sure we'll get him in here as a guest one of these days once we figure our stuff out and get the guest line up and running. But it is great to be back, and we have a lot of Islander stuff to talk about today, thankfully. I was a little nervous. We were starting the podcast in the summer. Normally you want to do a hockey podcast during the season, but I mean, over the last 90 minutes, we've had an article, a revision, a meltdown, and who knows what on Isles Twitter. So we have plenty to talk about, including the protected list for the New York Islanders that was submitted to the Las Vegas Golden Knights, which is still really weird, saying that there's a hockey team in Las Vegas. That's going to take me a long time to get used to, just as the fact that I still call the Arizona Coyotes Phoenix.
As do I.
But
you know, I think it's real interesting. I think, you know, I think we need to preface this by saying that, look, I mean, we're all fans of the game. You know, we've all been brought up as part of SNY now. I've kind of come along and gotten some sources within the league now that feed me some stuff. But let's face it, whether you're an amateur, you know, little man like myself, whether you're an Arthur Staple beat writer for Newsday, whether you're Darren Dreger or Bob McKenzie or any of those guys over at TSN, everything is most of what we say is opinion. It's what we think, it's what we're getting from sources, but sometimes even sources aren't completely accurate. So take everything with a grain of salt, whether it be from, again, a little guy like myself or a bigger guy like the Dreggers and McKenzie's and Staples of the world. Just kind of roll with it. You know, I put out an article today on SNY, which was simply stating, don't overreact to the initial expansion draft protected list, because we saw that come out. We saw people freak out. We saw things all over Isles Twitter. We saw things all over national hockey media claiming that the Islanders are the dumbest team in the NHL and how could they protect five defensemen. I think, you know, my article today, which we'll get into in a little bit, kind of stated some of the things that I think. And now with the news that broke today that we're going to discuss shortly, it's even more ironclad that there is a lot going on with this hockey team. And I have a good feeling that come Saturday, post-entry draft, I think a lot of Islander fans might be singing Kumbaya in the streets together, and it'll be quite the change in Isles Twitter land.
Also, I just want to throw in a quick warning that the weather here in New York is awful, so if there's any intermittent internet issues, we're blaming it on the weather, and next week it'll be taken care of. But with the insane rain and wind and who knows what's going on here in New York, if there are any intermittent cutouts, that's what it is from. But let's talk about the most recent update, because as of 7 minutes ago, Arthur Staple on Newsday's website, his article was updated. The headline now reads, Islanders dealing first-round pick to Vegas, also likely trading Mikhail Grabowski to expansion franchise, sources say. Again, those those infamous sauces.
Sauces.
Those infamous sources. I'm sorry, I'm Italian. When I hear sauce, I think sauce.
Gravy. It's gravy.
It's not gravy.
With meat in it.
Go away. It's not
gravy. If there's meat in it, it's a gravy. If there's meat in it, it's a gravy.
But it does seem that the Islanders have a deal in place to send a first-round pick and most likely Mikhail Grabowski. So that's at least $5 million in cap space being sent over to Las Vegas, plus whoever they take off of the roster. So if the original report from Arthur Staple is true and is correct, and they are taking Nikolai Kuhlman on top of this, that's just over $9 million in cap space being cleared by Garth Snow for the New York Islanders.
And he has $2 million. They're gaining $2 million with a $75 million cap for this season, so that's four. That puts the Islanders at around $13 million heading into free agency, and that points to the fact that these trade discussions that we've been hearing that Garth Snow's been having all around the league there is a lot of smoke there. And where there's smoke, there's usually fire. And I think there's starting to become a little fire there as well. I'll tell you what I heard today. I heard that Nikolai Kuhlman is the piece going to Vegas. I didn't hear about Mikhail Grabowski. Now that Staple has broken everything, we could say that. I think it's going to be cool. Grabowski, I've heard from all accounts, has not been cleared to play. It doesn't look like he's going to be able to resume his career. So this is going to be kind of a David Clarkson, Mark Savard, Chris Pronger type of deal where you're just dealing the salary and not the player. So that's why I think you got to sweeten that with Kuhlman and the 15th overall to get off the Islanders' books and put it onto his. He still has a minimum cap requirement of $55 million to hit in expansion. You can't fill that in expansion draft all with third and fourth liners. So there's going to be some salary fillers there. I think it's if that's how everything shakes out on Wednesday, which is, again, what I've been hearing and what Art has reported, I think it's a fantastic job of work by Garth Snow. And it lines him up perfectly to bring on, I think, two players out of five that I have in my mind.
So let's hear who your five players are that you have in mind for the Islanders to target in either. Are these all five trade targets or are some of them free agents as well?
No, I'm not dipping into the free agent market at all. The only player that I deem of high quality in the free agent market this year is TJ Oshie. It's still up in the air. There was only $2 million of cap space cleared, so I'm not sure if the Capitals are going to be able to re-sign. I'm pretty confident that Kevin Shattenkirk's going to end up a New York Ranger when all's said and done. So can the Caps resign? I think Oshie's first choice is to remain with the Caps. I have heard that the Islanders are dabbling in his name. They've been talking about him. But I think they go the trade route. And for me, I think they get two of these five. It's possible to get two of these five. I think they definitely get one. It's possible they get two, and that's Matt Duchene, Alex Galchenyuk, Jordan Eberle, James Van Riemsdyk, James Neal. Those are my five trade targets for the Islanders. I think that, again, they've been talking to just about everyone who has a winger available, and I think they get one. It's quite possible they get two. Now, the players that they convinced Vegas to stay away from in expansion, they're going to lose some of those players in these deals. You know, I think they lose Travis Hamonic. I think the fact that he had Vegas stay away from Thomas Hickey, the fact that Ryan Pulock needs a spot, tells me that in all likelihood, some combination of Travis Hamonic, Calvin DeHaan, Ryan Strome could be ex-Islanders by the weekend.
Do you think it's possible they trade Barzal, or do you think they're hoping to hold on to him?
They're hoping to hold on to him. I don't know if you can get Matt Duchene without him. Joe Sakic is really playing hardball with Duchene. I've heard mixed feelings on how Sakic might feel about Travis Hamonic, who I think... Who knows? Maybe Sakic turns around and likes Calvin DeHaan more than Travis Hamonic. I don't know. But I've heard he's not fully into Travis Hamonic. And that's why I'm a little frightened that you may not be able to get Duchene without giving up one of your top prospects, like a Barzal, a Ho Sang, a Michael Dell Cole.
Well, I just want
someone like that.
I just want to interject really quick and say that I've been on the Travis Hamonic is overvalued by the Islanders and Islander fans bandwagon for a while. I love, don't get me wrong, love Travis Hamonic. Think he's a fantastic Islander. I think he has been held in way too high of a regard when it comes to trade value. I don't blame Sakic for saying that Hamonic, you're going to have to sweeten that deal for Duchesne. Like I said, I love Hamonic. Don't think he's as good as Islander fans and maybe the Islander brass tend to think. But when it comes to trading for Duchesne, I'm all for getting rid of letting MDC go. Now, I love Barzal. Barzal, I think, is untouchable for me, at least. Now, obviously, I'm not the GM. I'm not Islanders brass. If they trade him for Duchesne, will I be upset? No, because I think Matt Duchesne could be a huge piece to what puts the Islanders over the edge. But I like Barzal. Of the three, of Hosang, Barzal, and Dal Colle, I would prefer to keep Barzal as long as possible. Hosang's my number two. Michael Dal Colle, he's the one I'm most willing to part ways with right now at this point.
I think right now that makes a lot of sense. And I just want to point out, too, I think all this noise that's coming out of the Vegas stuff, I think that it's important to note that Mikhail Grabowski wasn't on the protected or unprotected list because of his injury status. So that would not count as a Vegas selection. So even if the deal that the Islanders worked out with Vegas was to send Grabowski and the first overall pick, first round pick, 15th overall to Vegas, they still have to select a player off the Islanders' unprotected list. And that would be that. That's what tells me the deal is more than likely Grabowski and the first round pick to Vegas for the promise to select Nikolai Kuhlman off the Islanders' protected list.
So now how does this work? If that's the deal made and they don't pick Kuhlman, do they just not get Grabowski and the pick? Or is there more to it? Like, is there more to it? Is there
the deal that Cards worked out with George McPhee and McPhee reneges on it? I think that pretty much ends their relationship, wouldn't it?
Right, but that I've been thinking about that since the beginning of the expansion talk. Like, what if McPhee is just like, okay, yeah, I'll take all these picks, yeah, and then just makes the best team possible and doesn't care? Do the trades just not happen, or is there more repercussions to that?
That's a good question, Shane. I don't think that George McPhee. It's sort of like a situation where GMs don't like poaching restricted free agents from other teams.
Right, because if he does it, he'll never get a good trade or a good deal again.
Right. They just don't do it I think that would ruin McPhee's reputation right off the bat with 30 other general managers, and he would basically never be able to get anything done. And in fact, those 30 GMs would probably collude against him to make sure that Vegas never wins more than 10 games in a season again.
So, just for the listeners, because I'm going to ask you a question here, just remind us of who the five that you hope they trade for are.
Hope they trade for are?
Yeah, the five players you think the Islanders could potentially make a play for. Just remind us.
Duchesne, Eberle, Galchenyuk, Neal, Van Riemsdyk.
Okay. So if you had to rank them, I'll give you mine, you give me yours. Mine is Duchesne 1, Eberle 2, Galchenyuk 3, Neal 4, JVR 5.
Okay, I'm going to shake that up a little bit. I'm going to go Duchesne 1, obviously, because I think he's the Islanders' biggest need. I think he would fill, and then some, the void left by Franz Nielsen, which they still haven't filled. And I think that's really hurt them last year. Number 2, I'm going JVR, who I've always been a huge fan of. And I think would be unbelievable on the wing with JT. You saw how well he did with Austin Matthews this year. And he didn't even play with Matthews full time. So I'm going Duchesne, Van Riemsdyk. Riemsdyk, Galchenyuk, Neal, Eberle.
Okay, so we really just differ Eberle and JVR on our pick.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of JVR's. I think he plays with a little more grit. Eberle scares me a little bit in the sense of he's been called by the Edmonton journalist this year soft, that he plays a soft game,
which is not conducive to the Islanders.
No, and not when you already have a guy who puts up offensive numbers in Brock Nelson, who plays a soft game. You see how he's treated by the fan base.
Don't even get me started.
The inconsistent. Yeah, but you know what? Knock Brock for his game, yes, in terms of being – he does play soft at times, and he is inconsistent. But over the last three seasons, Brock Nelson is 51st in the NHL in goals scored.
My
out of there's almost 700 active in it. There's 700 players. If you go 30 teams times 23 men on the active roster, if you go 50 contracts, there's almost 1,500. Just outside the top 50 in goals scored.
My issue with Brock isn't his game. My issue with Brock is I have to keep freaking defending him because he's one of my favorites.
Well, you're doing a Brock Nelson jersey. So
I have two Brock Nelson jerseys, and I love Josh Bailey. So I'm pretty much Isles Twitter's nemesis.
Well, let's hope we can get Josh on this podcast one night, and we could discuss the secondary, where the name originated from. I think Josh would get it. Knowing Josh, as I have come to know him over the last 5 years, he would get a kick out of it.
Do you watch Jimmy Kimmel?
I do.
I would literally make Bailey read hate tweets as a segment on this podcast if we ever get him on. Especially 56 points last year, career high. If he tops that and shuts all the critics up, I would instantly see if we can get him on and make him read all the Twitter hate.
I think it's easy to forget, and I think this goes with all sports. I'm not singling out Isles Twitter. I'm not. It goes with all sports, all teams. There's just, these guys are, whether you want to believe it or not, whether it matters to you or not, at the end of the day, they're people. And, I didn't realize it until I first started cracking the locker room and really, really talking to them. And Matt Martin was the first one that, Matt Martin and Michael Grabner were the first two that really made me see it. That at the end of the day, they're people just like us. They have lives and families that they go home to after a game, and they have, stresses outside of just the game of hockey. And it's easy for fans and media to sit back and say, well, this guy's getting paid, millions of dollars to produce. And you know what? If it was that easy, more than 800 people would be doing it.
That's why I was so happy that Bailey had a good season last year.
Yeah, me too. I was very happy for him.
Well, that and because if he has a good season, that means the Islanders also had a good season.
Right. But the Islanders have to avoid starting slow again. That's the bottom line. They have to get off to a fast start. I think Garth Snow is not – the Islanders didn't bring in a team president like they said they originally wanted to do to kind of be over Snow, in between that layer in between Snow and ownership. I don't think Garth is under pressure per se, but I think that with the Tavares saga – contract saga looming, he knows he has to go out and especially with the team not making playoffs, he's got to get some pieces. He's got to show John Tavares that he could do the work to get the pieces to make this team competitive and not just win a playoff round, not just win two playoff rounds, maybe go three, maybe go four. I know I'm getting ahead of myself, but that's what the mindset has to be, and John Tavares has to see that Garth Snow can get that done.
Right. If we go into this season status quo, no trades made, the team not really improved from last season, I wouldn't be surprised to see Tavares walk at the end of the season. But if, like you said, you think Snow is going to be able to pull off two of the five targets you have your eye on. If he is, let's say we miss on Duchesne.
He's got the assets, Shane.
What was that?
The assets are there. He's got the assets to
right.
do it.
Now he just has to pull the trigger. So let's say Duchesne doesn't happen, though. Let's say Sakic doesn't like Hamonic enough and the pieces aren't there to make Duchesne happen, because that's a legitimate possibility. Let's say it's Galchenyuk and Neal. That's got to show at least to Tavares and Tavares's camp that, look, we're willing to make the moves. We're moving assets. We're bringing in these names. We're bringing in not just names. We're bringing in these players. I mean, Galchenyuk's, what, 23? So we're not just bringing in big names who used to be good. We're not making the Alexei Yashin, Mike Milbury deals. We're bringing in players who are going to make an immediate impact. They're going to make an impact for years, not just this season. They're going to help you out. Galchenyuk, Neal, JVR, they're going to play on your wing. We're going to give you the elite talent we feel you should have around you. That's got to bode well for July 1.
Absolutely. And you know what? Tavares came out and said that he's now not in a rush.
That scares me more than doesn't scare me, by the way.
Well, you know what? It kept me at 75-25. I've been saying that on SNY for a while now, that I'm at 75. I was at 80-20. I went down to 75-25 just to err on the side of caution and throw another 5% chance in there. Because, look, at the end of the day, the guy's on an expiring contract with 1 year left. There's always the possibility he goes. But I'm still very bullish on him staying at 75%.
He seems loyal. He seems like he wants to stay.
Even through him saying that, huh?
He seems like he wants to stay if Garth puts the effort in on his end. Like, he seems like he wants to be loyal if it makes sense for him to be loyal.
Well, that's who John Tavares is. John Tavares is loyal. And I think that he's loyal not to a fault. He obviously wants to win a Stanley Cup, but I do think he believes in the Islanders, and he loves playing for the Islanders. Ray Bourque, even though Ray Bourque went and won a cup later in his career with Colorado, to be that guy who's with a franchise for 15, 18 years his entire career. That's who he wants to be. But you're right. I mean, Snow has to show him that he can go out and get the job done. And if not, at some point, Tavares has to speak up and say, you got to get another GM in here.
And now watching it from the outside, I feel Doug Weight was an important piece of making Tavares comfortable also. It seems like Weight was not quote-unquote Tavares's guy, but someone Tavares is comfortable with behind the bench, comfortable talking mm-hmm. to, comfortable being around, kind of like a mentor-esque coach, someone who I honestly feel if the Islanders brass, Garth Snow, didn't think Doug Weight put the Islanders in the best position to re-sign John Tavares, he would not be the Islanders head coach.
Everyone is a fan of Doug Weight. And I'll tell you, Doug Weight at first didn't want this job. He did it as a favor just to kind of get the Islanders to the end of the season. And then he ended up liking it. But, you know, Doug Weight, to me, transformed the Islanders. I don't think their record under him was a fluke. I don't think their play under him was a fluke. He's going to make even more adjustments this season as they enter training camp. He's going to make changes on and off the ice in how they prepare and how they practice and the systems. And I think players do authentically love playing for him. And I think this is also the first time that we've ever seen, if the Islanders do indeed, as rumored, bring in Kelly Buchberger as another member of the coaching staff, which is, I'm hearing, going to be done shortly. That gives them almost 5,000 games of NHL experience behind the bench.
Can we just talk about Scott Gomez for a second? He finally completes the sure. metro area trifecta.
Yep. It's like moving from Brooklyn to Staten Island to Jersey. It's like yeah. It's like that's what Scott Gomez did, essentially.
So, I mean, the experience is there behind the bench playing-wise. Now they just have to put it together coaching-wise.
And let's keep this in mind. Out before. You know, I think that keeping Vegas away from giving a full-time spot to Pulock opens up the Islanders where they're going to have to move Hamonic and or DeHaan to get these deals that I'm speaking of done. I don't think they get them done without them. There's no way, because let's face it, there's a premium on NHL defensemen right now. We've seen it in the deals that have already been made. And nobody's on a better top four, let's call it, friendly contract than Travis Hamonic. So that ups his value, the contract that he has. So I think given that situation and given the Islanders re-signed Dennis Seidenberg, who had a great season, what's to say they don't go out and sign a Dan Girardi on a one-year deal?
Oh, please.
To be a 5-6 guy, to be a third-pairing guy.
Stop.
Look, I've always been a fan of Dan Girardi. He's a warrior. He's been deep in the playoffs. He's been to a Stanley Cup final.
I'll be the voice of Isles Twitter here. Please, for the love of God, no.
Give me Dan Girardi on a one-year, $1.5 million deal. I'm signing it every day of the week and twice on Sunday. To be a third pairing guy or a seventh D. Well, a
I can't
third
get
pairing or a
that.
Seventh D. In
I
a
don't
minute.
Think I can get behind that. He bet because it's just going to be the second coming of Brian Strait.
No.
He's at best slightly better than Brian Strait.
But see, Brian Strait
was... That's false. I'm going to sound like I don't know hockey saying that. He's clearly much better than Brian Strait, but I pass on that.
I don't think you pass on the experience. I don't think you pass on the shot-blocking ability. I don't think you pass on that for a one-year, one-and-a-half, one-year, $2 million deal. I don't think you pass on that.
Depends on what else happens.
Right. I'm like, not saying that they should rush and do that before they do anything else. But
that's my training camp's about to start, and we're looking for a seventh defenseman signing.
Right. I'm not saying you pick him up and make him your first pairing guy. You put him with, you know, Johnny Boychuk or Nick Leddy. I'm not saying that. But, you know, the reality is, you know, some of the stuff we've seen come out has just been, you know, awful. The Islanders are not moving Nick Leddy. It's never going to happen. You know, I saw something like the other day that the Canadians made an outrageous trade offer for John Tavares that turned, by my sources anyway, that's totally untrue.
This is
again,
the best time
the talks,
of year for ridiculous hockey rumors.
Right. Well, it's the same thing in any sport. I mean, soccer is probably the worst of it all. If you look at EPL, the transfer market in the English Premier League is just ridiculously awful. But if you look at a team like Montreal, right, who just traded Nathan Beaulieu for a third round pick, they traded their top prospect, one of the top prospects in hockey, in Sergachev, to get Drouin, right? Does Montreal have left on D? Andre Markov's a free agent. Jordy Benn is Jordy Benn. They really only have Shea Weber. Montreal has to have something working for a defenseman. They have to. So I think that there might be smoke there to possibly move Hamonic in a Galchenyuk deal.
I would be,
because that to me just makes sense. That to me just, and I'm not sure what other pieces would be involved, but that to me just makes sense. Montreal gets a top four defenseman on a great contract. I'm pretty sure Galchenyuk's being moved because he wants to, you know, Galchenyuk wants to, I think Galchenyuk could be the backup plan if Sakic doesn't come around to Duchesne. Like, Snow has to be smart here and play Sakic right around.
Right. Be like, hey, listen, if you're not going to do this, I'm moving with Hamonic on Galchenyuk.
I'm going forward. I'm going to just move Hamonic in another deal, or I'm going to move DeHaan for Galchenyuk or something like that. But
right.
Montreal, it's screen, what they've done screen thing in the works for a defenseman. And who has a surplus of defensemen? The Islanders. Who's looking to add forwards? The Islanders.
So it makes sense.
It does logically make sense. I can't say whether that's, you know, definitive or not. I mean, my sources did say that they have been involved deep with Duchesne, Eberle, and Galchenyuk, and there's been whispers of Neal, and they also contacted Toronto about JVR, which is why I mentioned those five. But, you know, some are saying the Galchenyuk talks came close. Others are saying they didn't. My source didn't specify either way, just said that they have been talking about him. But logically, that makes sense that Montreal would be in the market for a D-man.
See, now, Duchesne obviously entices me the most because we need that second-line center. Obviously, an elite winger with Tavares is important. I think the most important hole is a second-line center. Barzal is that guy,
sure.
Not over the next 2 years.
No. I think if something happens and you end up losing Hamonic, they currently say you end up losing Hamonic, DeHaan, and Strome in these deals to acquire, let's just say, a Duchesne. Well, they're not going to lose all three in a deal for Duchesne. Let's say they only get Duchesne. Let's say that, right? They lose, if they could lose Kuhlman and Grabowski contracts to Vegas, if they could pick up a Duchesne in a deal, then you're looking at, you could still go with Tavares, Lee, Hosang. You can put Duchesne on the second line, who, again, he replaces Franz Nielsen and then some.
Right.
Fantastic skater, over 60% faceoff guy, right? You put him on the second line center. You could then ease Barzal into the NHL game, right? As maybe your third line guy.
Right.
You still come back with a fourth line of Cizikas, Clutterbuck, and I don't know, who else? Prince. Throw Prince on that line for the heck of it.
Prince, someone along those lines.
Right. And you throw anybody on that fourth line with Cizikas and Clutterbuck, doesn't matter. But, you know, you're still holding on to, again, Brock Nelson, a guy who scored 20 goals three straight seasons. I think it makes dynamic. It's going to make them a lot tougher to play against. And you have Greiss and Halak in goal if they choose not to move Halak, which I'm hearing after seeing the return for Mike Smith. You know, I'm hearing that the Islanders are likely going to go into the season with Greiss and Halak. I heard that Halak stuff is blown over, and which I think is their best option is to do that.
Right, go in. I think that's the best option too, isn't it? I think the best option is Halak and Greiss.
Halak and then Greiss, right.
I think next week we'll delve a little deeper into that. Next week we'll also know who was picked by Vegas. We'll have a little
exactly.
bit more info. We may even have trades by next week. You never know.
We should. We should.
To me,
I think the bigger names are going to go with the draft, I think.
To me, if I'm picking one person, if you're telling me the Islanders only pick up one player, it's Duchesne. After that,
I would be hopeful that Garth Snow is smart enough to identify, and again, hopeful. Was smart enough to identify that's the get. That's
right.
Always been the get for me.
And if Duchesne is unavailable, then I'm hoping it's two, and I'm hoping it's some combination of Eberle, Galchenyuk, Eberle, Neal, Galchenyuk, Neal. I like JVR. I value Eberle a little higher than JVR.
Jersey boy, bring him home, man. Red Bank, bring
that
him home.
That is true. Put some butts in the seat.
Oh, and by the way, our mutual friend John Drea said he's still looking for an assistant coach, by the way.
Why you got to put the pressure on me like that? I don't know. I already deal with one set of parents in high school. You're going to make me deal with a second set of parents now in travel?
Yeah, he's doing like juniors travel, yeah.
Oh. Do you know how crazy parents are?
Good hockey player too. Huh? No, they're nuts.
How crazy parents are?
I was talking to John today, and I told him I coached for 11 years after I got done playing, and I miss coaching so much, but I don't miss the parents. I don't miss the parents at all.
We could do an hour long. You know what? We're going to do it this summer at some point. We're going to do a half hour special just on parents in youth hockey.
Oh, I have some stories as well as you do, my friend.
Oh, my God. It's the most ridiculous thing ever. But we are at about a half an hour. I think we covered a lot of good stuff here in the first episode of the Secondary Assist podcast. We're going to do this Monday nights. We'll record around 8 o'clock. For the most part, they'll be out Monday night. This is obviously the first episode, so it probably won't be out immediately on iTunes. It'll be out on the website, but it'll hit iTunes over the course of the next day or so as iTunes approves the podcast and goes through their hoopla and jumps through their technical hula hoops and gets us posted. But we will be available the night of the recordings. We will record roughly 8 o'clock Monday nights. Hopefully, the goal is eventually to start doing it live, bringing in callers, tweets, guests, you name it. We're going to try and do it. Again, this is really just a rebranding of the Dump and Chase podcast here, so we're really excited, myself and Andy. Really excited to be back here. Andy, anything you want to throw out there before we head out?
Nope, just thank you everybody for your support on Twitter. I know that we try to be as active as we can, and you know, I know that I've heard as many people as I can. I think people, for the most part, especially lately through all this craziness, have been keeping it respectful, and I totally appreciate that. So yeah, just keep coming at us with tweets, keep coming at us with questions, and we'll do our best to get to you, and we're really, really excited to be back. Thanks for all the support.
If you want serious answers from myself, tweet at Secondary Pod, because those will be the professional serious answers. If you want dumb trolley answers, tweet at me at sblackburn26, because that's what I'm best at. I like to pour fuel on the fire. When Twitter is burning, I'm a big fan of pouring fuel on the fire. So if you want dumb answers, sblackburn26. If you want legitimate good answers, head over to at Secondary Pod. Our website is secondaryassist.com. And once we get up on Twitter and on iTunes, and everything is approved, links will be sent out for you to subscribe. Once again, thanks for listening. And until next week, let's go Garth Snow.